I'm Adam.
And I'm Mike.
Welcome to The Dad Experience,
a podcast where dads can connect
and openly share stories.
Here's what to expect on this episode of The Dad Experience.
Yeah, I don't really treat or approach my kids differently. I think we are beginning to... I think we as people, humanity, has always been moving towards a greater consciousness about the human experience. And I think we're learning a lot about gender roles and how unhelpful some of our gender storylines really are. Dad
Experience. Welcome to the Dad Experience. Another episode, another great dad joining us. I'm really excited. When I first encountered our guest today, Ryan has a great Instagram account that I've been following and that the Dad Experience has been following called Daring to Dad, where it's a space where dads can hold honest conversations around fatherhood, masculinity, and faith, which is, you know, a lot of the stuff that the Dad Experience listeners, that's kind of why we started what we do. So I was really excited to just connect with Ryan here. Ryan lives in Sacramento. He's a former pastor. And I'm sure we'll get into a little bit of that and kind of what drove him to kind of move towards more of the different things that he's doing. He's also living with Meniere's disease, which is a rare autoimmune disease that impacts hearing and balance. And he's also by day, outside of giving us all this great content for dads, he is he manages digital content and social media strategy for a large company out in where he's at. So welcome, Ryan, to the show.
I am so glad to be here. Honored to be on. Thank you so much.
Oh, no problem. It was so neat when I first started following your Instagram account. I'm like, wow, this is another dad that totally gets it and kind of is right around what we're all about. You know, we try and I don't know how much you've kind of gotten a chance to look at what we do, but we really want to kind of break down that stereotype of the Homer Simpson dad. Not that humor isn't important, not that that stuff isn't important, but that stereotypical dad that just kind of is there, just kind of as the humor, the relief, and always, you know, fun, you know, have a good time all the time, which, you know, parenthood has a lot of ups and downs, and being a part of that that with your partner is so important. So we always start the show off with who lives with you at home. So what is the makeup of your household?
Yeah, thanks for asking. So again, up in Sacramento, California, we're rooted here, and I live with my wife, Samantha. We've been married almost 13 years this coming weekend. That we're recording this. And then I have two kids. I have a son who's 6 and a daughter who is 2. So the four of us kind of make up our home up here.
Right. Well, it's a busy home. It sounds like you guys are busy, but congratulations on the anniversary. It's it's great to see other parents doing it and in it for the long haul. So congratulations. So, we talked a little bit about your bio and your intro. So tell us a little bit about how you got to, let's say, Daring to Dad, your Instagram account, or the things that you do as a dad. So kind of how did you get there and what's your background with all that?
Sure. So I come from this background, a kind of religious upbringing, a kind of a faith-central background, and I know we'll get into some of that later on and some of my exodus from some of that life and world, but one of the things that I really appreciate that I've taken from that space is this desire to work things out, to live life in community spaces. To share stories, to encourage, to grow, to listen to others and what their experience is, to come alongside others and share those stories. And I've always been really drawn to that. Early on in my early 20s, I was blogging a little bit, and I'll be honest, it was messy because my 20s were messy. I was blogging a lot and really shut it down for a few years. I was going through a lot in my own life and marriage and faith and vocation and all this kind of stuff. And I walked away from it. When my son came on the scene, we experienced so much, you know, in those early years, especially, you know, our first time becoming parents. I just opened up the computer and just started writing again and just started sharing my experience again. And at first it was just kind of my raw feelings and experiences about being an early father. And it just kind of took shape more and more. I just began to get more comments and engagements around the stuff I was talking about, a lot of people relating to my own journey. And I think naturally, when we begin to raise kids, we not only ask a lot of questions about what it means to be a parent, but we also start asking a lot of questions about ourselves. You know, we see ourselves reflected a lot in our children. We know that our kids are way more impacted by the kind of people that we are in our actions than even they are what we say. And so I think I began to ask myself a lot of questions about the kind of model person I was being, what I was modeling as a man. And those conversations morphed into more topics around masculinity. And faith, even though I try to run from it sometimes, always seems to kind of wrap its arms around my content. And so I just really began, as it kind of grew and evolved, really I'm having conversations at the intersections of fatherhood, masculinity, and faith. And where those things meet, that's where this conversation is taking place on the Daring to Dad. So that's what kind of got me into that space. And it just kind of grown from there. So it's hard because I also got a full-time job and actually have to be a dad. So, you know, sometimes it's hard to keep up with, but I'm really glad. I love the community and conversations taking place so far.
Yeah, that's really interesting what you said. You know, what I found too as a parent, not only obviously do we want to become better parents and better examples for our kids, but I found, you know, you hit the nail kind of right on the head with that we kind of find ourselves even more. Yeah. We kind of find what's important for us as humans. Are we setting a good example? But then we kind of can delve deeper into that, you know, that thought and say, hey, am I taking care of myself? You know? So yeah, absolutely. I think for me as a parent as well, I've found that, yeah, not only do we want to kind of take a look at how we're parenting our children and being the best dads that we can be, or best parent that we can be, but also kind of taking a step back and go, how can I take care of myself better so that I can be here longer for my kids, or I can do things better than maybe I had when I was a child. So you're really engaging. You have great engaging content on Instagram. I was really drawn to you. You're one of my favorite people to follow. So your focus is a lot on well-being of our society and how we can better educate our kids to become better members of society. I think a few weeks back, I saw something specifically where you were talking about, maybe it was with gun violence. I think a lot of folks out and around the country were wearing gun violence t-shirts, and you're just really an advocate for helping our society become, you know, us become better members of society. How do we educate our kids to become better members of society? How do we filter out the right things for our kids to see so that they can be better members of society?
Yeah, that's a really good question. And I think it starts first and foremost by modeling it. You know, we're setting an example of the way that in which we engage the world probably has so much more impact on the way that our kids will view the world and turn out than maybe by what we say. And so for us, it's really about setting that tone and modeling an engagement around the world that we see our well-being, our freedoms, our joy linked to that of other people's. That our joy and our well-being is linked to the well-being of other people, and that we are here and we have been given this gift of life, and loving ourselves and seeking out goodness for ourselves does not have to be in a contrast to want the same for other people, that there is enough for everyone. And so the way that we engage the world has huge impact. For us, it's also really paying attention to the places we insert ourselves. We really value not only discovering and owning our own story, but the stories of other people. So if we're in a place where everyone looks like us and thinks like us, then we need to find a new space. You know, this goes from the school that we choose for our children, the neighborhoods that we live in, the places we choose to interact with. We intentionally seek out places where we can learn and grow from other people. You know, to your point, I think books and shows and video games, all these things really matter, and in the information that our kids absorb is really important. And we try to make sure that the hero of the story doesn't always look the same, that the children in the book that we're reading look different, act differently, maybe have different types of abilities that speak to the wide and vast array of the human experience. And lastly, I would say just we're not afraid to talk to our kids about what matters to us. I think sometimes we wait a really long time. Kids are absorbing so much and not being afraid to answer those questions and having those conversations with our children about what's going on in the world. So, yeah, that's what I would say about really becoming better members of society. And again, first and foremost, it's just simply modeling it.
Yeah. So, on top of that as well, I do have a question for you. How do you guys, you've got 6 and 2, so maybe it's a little bit more along the lines of the 6-year-old. How do you guys kind of manage the content with your 6-year-old? Is there anything specific you do? Do you do things together? Do you kind of show them places that are good places to get information? Kind of how are you introducing that to, maybe you are with your 2-year-old as well. How do you introduce that to your children?
Yeah, and everyone does this differently, right? I mean, it's funny, being a kind of social media professional, I get actually colleagues all the time, who have kids asking me about like social media and kids, and I don't have a really great answer. I mean, for us, at our point, our 6-year-old is not connected to the internet, not through video games or anything else. If there is any type of internet connection, we're always present with what they do. And we do. We just kind of, if there's a new TV show or a new video game, we kind of walk through that first. We talk more about it. We don't do, this is again, and this is just, I can only speak from kind of my experience. Everyone's going to approach this differently. It's fine.
Right.
We don't do, kind of with our big stance with guns, we don't do guns in the house, play or real. And we're really, low on the violence. And this is super hard. This is really, really hard because so much of video games and TV shows and things like that, there's good guys and there's bad guys. And the good guys got to defeat the bad guys, typically through violent means, right? I mean, once you get past the really early, content shows of Sesame Street or, Daniel Tiger's Neighborhood or whatever, it's hard to kind of find places and spaces that aren't that. And that's also part of life, and we journey that together, and he's going to become exposed to different types of things, and we just try to really create an open space where questions can be asked both ways of the content that we're consuming. And so much of this is just figuring out as we go. So.
Right. Right. No, absolutely. And, kind of shifting gears a little bit, you've also talked about breaking down masculinity. We talked a little bit about that and earlier on in the show, but, why is it important to break down the mask of masculinity? And, the more I'm having more of this conversation with more and more dads, which is great, which is kind of like when I was first starting out, doing the Dad Experience podcast myself, what I was finding was not a ton of that. And then, the more I've been researching it, the more I've been looking for it. There's a lot out there, and there's a lot out there for people, encouraging people to research and do more with breaking down that mask of masculinity. Why is it important, and how do folks that are maybe just trying to get into that or don't feel comfortable in their own skin of breaking down that mask of masculinity, those stereotypes, how do we kind of approach those?
To your point, I mean, you're even saying that a lot of people are talking about this, and I think if you ask most men, regardless of where they might exist on the socioeconomic or political spectrum, something feels weird. Something feels off. And there's a restlessness happening, I think. There's a discomfort happening with men. And I think that's really interesting. I think there's something that's happening with the, our ability to access information and the platforms in which stories can be told are now unearthing something, I think, in our culture. And it has men asking some very tough questions. There's a couple authors that I read a lot that refer to kind of our dominant culture of masculinity as the man box. And, the man box is kind of rule one is that like men don't express their emotions, the strong and silent type remains kind of the symbol of like real American manhood. And this is passed on to our sons and our daughters, and to kind of present kind of a facade of like real like emotional toughness. And we pass on a lot of times to our, you know, young boys to hide emotional expression. And really the one societal appropriate emotion for men is anger. I think this is a big concern of mine. 75% of suicides are men. Men are more likely to be incarcerated, more likely to commit violent crime. 97% of all mass shootings are men. 98% of all forcible rape, men. Like, that's a problem. I mean, if you can imagine those statistics reverse and someone said, hey, did you know that 97% of all mass shootings were women? We'd be like, what the heck's going on with women? But for some reason we read stuff and we're like, yeah, okay, that makes sense. Because underneath the surface, I think we understand that there's something about the story about what like this dominant narrative about masculinity in our culture is projecting. And I think movements like, you know, the Me Too movement, the Black Lives Matter movement are bringing to the surface stories and experiences that have been there all the time. But all of a sudden now with new methods and our access to communication and storytelling platforms, they're coming to the surface. And a lot of voices that have been historically silenced are speaking. And I think this is forcing us to ask deep questions around the dominant narratives around masculinity. And, you know, for me, I'm just really passionate about that and pushing back against that toxic culture of masculinity. And starting with and that movement is a two-way movement. It's one, and first and foremost, has to happen within ourselves and then move into the way that we engage society. So I think that that's an incredible, important thing for me, and it's been a major personal journey of mine. You know, and you're right. I think there's some discomfort when we begin to talk about this. And I think a lot of guys out there get angry. We start talking about kind of masculinity and offering some critique around some of those narratives. And I get a lot of that, like on my Instagram page and in the comments, like, you know, hey, why? I don't need to apologize to be a man, or what's wrong with being a man? Nothing at all. I am so passionate about men. About men's health, mental, emotional, physical. And when we see statistics like 75% of suicides are on men, we are dying. We are dying. And, you know, we need to reassess and reevaluate what is causing such isolation, such loneliness, the addiction, the crime, all these types of things. What's causing that? What's the storyline at the root of that's causing that type of pain within a community of men here in this country? And, you know, we tell boys to man up or don't be a sissy or all these kinds of things. And this, you know, we cut off these relational capacities in men, and in turn leads to dramatic higher rates of cancer, heart disease, diabetes, Alzheimer's, obesity, way more for men. And so I think it's an interesting thing to look into and begin to ask questions about. And so it greatly impacts the way that we, I think, engage our kids, and a conversation that's really important for those of us, not only dads, but again, because that's kind of the space I occupy. I think it's an important conversation to have.
Right. And it's interesting you say those things, that this is kind of all coming to like a head, and a lot of these major health issues and major issues that happen societally are men, and it's scary. And I think it's time that, like you said, I think it's time we start looking at why and how can we change this to make it better for everyone, not just men alone, but everybody that's, you know, a part of the society, because it's scary. It can be scary at times. This is a great place for us to take a short break. Don't forget that the Dad Experience is a part of the Parents On Demand Network. You can get our podcast on their app that you can get at the Google Play Store or the Apple iTunes Store. Also, stick around after this episode to hear about another great podcast from Parents On Demand that, if you love the Dad Experience, we're sure you're going to like. So stick around after the break. More with Ryan and Daring, all the stuff he does on Daring to Dad. Some great conversations. We're going to kind of dig a little bit deeper. Welcome back to the Dad Experience. We're here with Ryan Walton. We're talking about breaking down the mask of masculinity and just being better parents for our children and being better members of society and helping our children become better members and human beings all around. So, you know, we were talking a little bit before the break about breaking down that mask of masculinity, and we've talked about our kids, we've talked about us as parents with our kids, but something I, you know, I'm always interested in, and I ask a lot of our guests that come on the Dad Experience podcast, is how do we're so busy and we're so concerned about the well-being of our kids and making sure they're fine and making sure we're demonstrating all these great positive things for them, but a lot of times the first thing that's to go is building a better relationship with our partners. Some of those things that were important to us before kids, date night, whatever it may be, kind of go at the wayside. So how do you ensure that you're still building that better relationship with your partner so you can be a better parent? Because I think ultimately it's important to have that healthy relationship so that, one, you can model a healthy relationship for your kids, whatever it looks like in your household, but two, you guys are happier. So how do you guys kind of approach that?
Well, first off, I recognize that there are so many different situations out there for parents, parents who are living in the same house, people who are separated, and each situation is unique and navigate. I can really only speak from the situation that I'm in right now. Living at home with, with my wife, I think it first and foremost for us, it starts out by just being like really, really gracious with with ourselves, and understanding that like, we're not always going to get it right. We're going to mess up and we're learning. No one in the history of the world has ever raised our kids before. We are the first people to do it, so we got to give ourselves some grace. Be okay with not always getting it right. I think really that comparison is the thief of joy. And it's really easy to compare ourselves to other families or other, parents or kids. The internet is ripe for this type of mentality. And I think really being disciplined not to compare ourselves to other people and what they have or don't have. And really the last thing is always to take up a posture of learning. One of the things I love about my own parents is, they're in their 60s now. And, these folks are still learning and growing and adapting and changing and showing that, we try not to ever get stuck in our ways, but continue to learn not only for our kids' sake, but for our own sake. And so I think that's for us what we continue to do. But you're right. I think carving out time for ourselves, both individually and as a couple, are good. I know for my wife and I, we like to be kind of listening to absorbing some of the same information, whether it's podcasts or books, places for us to kind of gather around and talk about certain subjects that aren't, how much money is in the bank account or what do we need at the grocery store. Stuff that's outside kind of the maintenance of the house with the kind of people that we want to be. And that's been really helpful for us. So it's definitely not easy. And it takes work. And when I say that, I am not exaggerating. Anyone who's in, it's a lot of work. But it starts with being really gracious with ourselves.
Right, right. And I think it's key. I think it's key in whatever relationship is just finding out what works for you, whether you're in, a shared household or whether you're living with your partner. There's got to be that time to figure out how can I give some give and take to make it better for myself so I'm a better parent for our children and whatever situation you're in. That's important. And a lot of times it's the first thing we forget about, but it's also, I think, sometimes the most important, because if we're happy and we're feeling good, then we're obviously relaying that to our children.
I would say this too. And just, I also remember that, there's the relationship with the children. There's a relationship with maybe a spouse or partner or co-parent or whatever. But the third thing is also a relationship with yourself. And that's been huge for me. It's been honestly a struggle for me that I'm realizing that my ability and capacity to love myself is directly tied to my ability and capacity to love others. And that's sometimes really challenging. I know, my six-year-old is a lot like me. And it's really, really tough. And I think sometimes my challenge with that, and specifically with him sometimes, is loving him is very much like loving myself because we're so alike. And I'm probably harder on him because of that. I'm probably sometimes more triggered by him because I'm like that. When you see yourself reflected, it's like, hey, but I've also found in the moments that really seeing myself in him and what he's really good at has also helped me appreciate myself and like, wow, oh my gosh, he's so expressive and he so has this ability to be inclusive and with other people. And oh, wow, you know what? That's me too. I can love that part of myself. And so I think that's also really important.
Right. So kind of still in the same realm, but we've talked a little bit about it. So what is the one thing that you think is so important, or maybe it's a couple small things, but in creating that better parent-child relationship? You've talked about how you've seen yourself in your child, but what is your best advice that maybe you've learned this far in your parenting journey that you wish you would have known, or somebody would have waved that magic wand and said, you will do this? Is there anything out there that you can just specifically remember?
I think the biggest, you know, secret to parenting is that there is no secret. it doesn't exist. So if you're looking for it, just like stop. I mean, at least that's what I've, you know, I'm 6.5 years into this. So what do I know? But so I think that's the thing. But, you know, the best advice I've got about, you know, parenting was from my own mom. So shout out to mom if you listen to this. My mom's philosophy was always, you know what? Make sure your kids know you're crazy about them. Everything else is kind of gravy. Show up, be there, make sure you know they're crazy about them no matter what. And I have this mantra with my kids that, like, hey, I love you no matter what. Like, you're my favorite guy, you're my favorite gal. Nothing you could ever do could change that. And that there's that, that's kind of the bedrock of it all with me for them. And I think and even going back to something I said before, is really going easy on yourself. You know, there's so much information, there's so much data, there's so many articles, and there's so much stuff. It's so easy to get overwhelmed with all the things that are out there, you know, from the, you know, screen time to food and diet to all this, to school and learning. You go, there's so much out there. Go easy on yourself. Go easy on yourself.
Yeah. You know, and it's funny because, like, obviously I started doing this dad experience podcast because I wanted to learn more. And, you know, I started just sharing what I was learning from other dads. And, you know, sometimes I'll get that question from friends that are going to, you know, soon to be parents or new parents or second time parents. And they go, you know, what is that thing? What advice can you give? And I always look at them and I go, you know what? I don't have good advice for you. I don't think there's one thing that's going to work that's going to cure everything. I think, you know, just listening and sharing your story and listening to other stories and, you know, finding out, well, I like what they did there. Or maybe I wouldn't do that when I'm a parent because I just don't, you know, it's not my style. Just kind of listening and observing and absorbing is more than just hearing from somebody, hey, you're going to do this or parenting is going to be like that. Because I'll tell you, the people that used to tell me that as a parent, most of those things didn't happen or come true. They were just fears that maybe that were instilled on them. So just kind of just, you know, I love how you say that, how you say just, you know, loving yourself and loving what you do and making sure the kids know that they're the most important thing because, you know, parenting is going to be ups and up and down and we're all going to make mistakes. And some of those mistakes end up turning out to be the right thing anyway. So it's a crazy, crazy journey. And, you know, that's kind of what I've learned and kind of gathered when I've talked to other folks as well. So, you know, you've talked a little bit. I saw specifically a post a few weeks ago too on your Instagram when we're recording this. This is in July of 19 for those folks that may be listening to it in the future. But you were talking about how, it's so important for your daughter to be strong, powerful, and brave. How do you kind of enforce this and approach it? And why is it so important for our children?
Yeah, I don't really treat or approach my kids differently. I think we are beginning to, I think we as people, humanity has always been moving towards a greater consciousness about the human experience. And I think we're learning a lot about gender roles and how, honestly, maybe how unhelpful some of our gender storylines really are. And I tell my daughter to be brave and strong and fierce, and it's okay to be angry. And I tell my son, you know what? It's okay to cry. It's okay to share your feelings. It's okay to be gentle. It's okay to be soft. And all those things are okay. I think in the dominant narratives in our culture, don't treat them that way. I think our advertisements say, hey, no, women, quiet, soft, it's okay for you to be emotional, blah, blah, and men, nope, strong, tough, resilient. And I think these are leading to some of the breakdown of what we're seeing. And so, I speak to both of my kids, the same way. And, it's important for them to know that, hey, feelings, both of them, you know, feelings, emotions are good, and let's share those. Let's be brave in sharing those. So how we move beyond those, let's be strong. And I don't want anything to hinder them from being all of themselves that they possibly can be, and just being really open to that.
Right. So, you know, before we close out this episode, we always like to do a segment with all of our guests that come on. You know, what is the thing or things that you can't wait to see through your children's eyes? Maybe you've seen it already, or something that you're just really excited about doing. And it could be anything. There's really no limit. There's no right or wrong answer. There's nothing that specifically we look for. We just like to hear the different opportunities or different things you're looking for to see or have seen through your children's eyes. Is there something out there that you're really excited to see or you have seen?
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, on the surface level, there's like, yeah, you know, my son and I can't wait to go to Star Wars Land this November. We're just like, we're going to get, we have all that kind of stuff. We're gonna stock them on Star Wars stuff before the big movie this December. You know, we're big Star Wars nerds and all that. So, yeah, there's stuff like that. But then there's also, you know, just excitement for them to see more of the world, to get out. I know that, you know, we love to travel and we want to do more of that, for them to be exposed to, you know, different people's stories and different narratives, and just to watch their reaction, to see how that impacts them. So I love watching them absorb information and kind of that look on their face when they're kind of processing. I love those moments because I just really... I'm just here as a guide, and let's go experience things and talk about it and figure it out together. So I'm excited for them to get out and see more as they get older. So yeah, that's my response there.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And you know, it started kind of the way we started that segment was very surface. And then you look at it and go, well, those things are really cool, and those were really neat experiences that we got to experience as children, and things that last in our memories. But when you take a step back and look at it from a parent's point of view, it's like, okay, now I'm looking at it, and there is more than just Star Wars Land or Disney World or going to see Back to the Future with your kid. There's some things as you go farther along that are just so neat to see and have them experience and kind of open up the world to them. So, like I said, I think it's great. I think it's beautiful, and I'm super excited to hear more about how those experience land for you and your family. Well, this is your chance here, you know, to let us know, how can folks find you? And we talked a little bit about Daring to Dad, your Instagram account. And so if you want to kind of maybe give them some places where they can find you, maybe find some of your blogs and things like that, go for it. I know our listeners are eager to find out more about you.
Sure. So, I mean, number one place where I probably hang out the most is Instagram. So at Daring to Dad. Yeah, please get on, join the conversation, engage. I'd love to dialogue there. That's the space. It's, again, a space for honest conversation, and, you'd love to see you. DaringToDad.com is the website. You can read kind of more about my background there, kind of me and my, being a former pastor and kind of my faith journey, which, has, quite a few ups and downs, as well as my background with Meniere's disease and how I manage that. So I will confess that the blog, the long form blog, does not get as much attention as I would like to give it. But if you can read more about my background there and get in touch with me, I'd love to hear from you. But it's been an honor, and just a total humbling experience being on the podcast with you. So thanks so much for having me.
Oh, no problem. And thank you for sharing the things that you do. Like I said, when I first started encountering your Instagram stuff, I'm like, wow, this is another dad that's totally on that same length and that same wavelength that we are, and kind of want to share and do those right things for our kids and kind of break down some of those stereotypical norms that maybe we learned as children, and maybe not intentionally, but just kind of what society has put us in. So I appreciate you sharing what you do, and we really appreciate you coming on the show. And maybe we'll have you on. We'll have to do a discussion about faith and your ups and downs with faith. I think our listeners would really, really get into that. So maybe we'll have to do that again sometime.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Adam.
Oh, no problem. Don't forget Dad Experience, part of the Parents On Demand Network. If you have a question for us, you can email us at experienceanddad@gmail.com. You might have a question for a guest. We can totally incorporate that into an upcoming episode, or reach out to those guests. Or maybe you have a show idea, or you yourself want to be on the show. We're always looking for dads from all over, all walks of life, grandparents, dads, step-parents, blended families. We're always just out there to hear more and get more experiences from dads out there, so we can kind of share a little bit more, and moms too as well. I know we get a lot of mom listeners and a lot of mom feedback. So, you know, we're all about that. So thanks again. Thanks again, Ryan. And we are really excited to catch you next time on the Dad Experience.
This podcast is a proud member of Parents on Demand, a network of high-quality shows for families just like yours. Download our free network app on Apple and Android and listen to your favorite episodes on the go.